You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby, where you can engage with us via our website at cjsf.ca or on our social media, which is CJSF Radio on TikTok and Blue Sky, or CJSF Music and CJSF Talk on Instagram.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, and welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem Nations. I'm your host, Nicole Hines, and I hope you are doing well this morning. It doesn't feel like summer, but I'm still not mad at it. I know it's going to get warmer later today. I have a jam-packed show today with lots of interviews and all of the things, but I want to first talk about an experience. I went to see a musical theater production last night. Theater Under the Stars is a, you know what, it's been in a, I think it's been doing this for 86 years. It was at the Malkin Bowl, which is a 2,000-seat outdoor theater in Stanley Park. And I was there for, you know, an evening of musical theater. Theater Under the Stars has two musical productions this summer. One is Sister Act, and then the other is Disney's The Little Mermaid. And it's going on from like now until August the 22nd. So I went to see Sister Act, and it is based on the 1992 hit movie starring Whoopi Goldberg. The musical follows aspiring disco diva Dolores Van Cartier, whose life turns upside down after witnessing a shooting involving her gangster boyfriend. She's rushed into witness protection at a nearby convent, where she becomes friends with the nuns there, and she ends up turning their choir into a huge sensation. So, first off, Malkin Bowl is a really awesome experience, just to be able to be out under the stars. I kept looking up as it got darker and darker, and it was That experience was great. I do recommend bringing a sweater. I also brought a blanket as well, because as it gets night falls, it does get much more chillier. When it comes to the musical performance itself, it was actually really amazing. The actresses are fantastic. Singing is on point. I loved the set design, which was on wheels and incorporated the actors and actresses. Like, basically, as they were changing scenes, they were kind of part of the scene, which was awesome. Lighting was fantastic. So I have watched Sister Act like decades ago, and I didn't rewatch it before seeing this, but what I will say, it felt very similar to what I remember the movie to be. And like, everybody was really, really fantastic. I would say there were some jokes that were kind of dated. It was like, I remember those were the times, you know what I mean? Early 90s and stuff like that. But then there were some other jokes that were super, super clever that I was like, okay, like, you know. I highly recommend going to see it, especially if you liked Sister Act. I think it is going to be very reminiscent of the movie, and you're going to feel that it's extremely familiar, and you're not going to feel like, this is like, you know, not up to par. I think it was really, really done beautifully well, and, you know, pretty top tier. In addition, though, my tips for if you are attending is to ensure that your phone is charged so that you can access your flashlight when leaving, because there is a lot of light around the theater when you are leaving. But depending on how you got there, if you're navigating through Stanley Park, having access to your flashlight is going to be everything for you. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a lot of fun. Weather was great. I will say it is Theater Under the Stars is a basically rain or shine production. So if it rains, it's still happening. I believe that they give out ponchos if it rains. They don't allow for umbrellas just because it will block the view of people behind you and stuff like that. But you would get access to a poncho if it does rain. If you know that rain is in the forecast, I would also probably arrive prepped for that. But aside from that, I think it's a pretty awesome experience. And I would definitely go and see an outdoor production at Malcolm Bowl, because it's quite lovely. Now I have some other things that I want to share. There are a bunch of workshops and events happening at SFU Burnaby campus for SFU students that I wanted to just share real quick. A Student Learning Commons is offering forest writing sessions. The forest writing session takes place on Thursday, July 9th, so tomorrow, from 2:30 to 3:30. And it's an opportunity to spend an hour exploring the relationship between writing, movement, attention, and place. You'll begin with like a short writing prompt and some quiet writing time before taking a gentle walk through a forested path around Burnaby campus. Along the way, you know, participants are invited to notice, reflect, and engage with the surrounding environment as part of your writing process. So whether you are working on an ongoing project, looking for a different writing experience, or just curious about writing along with others, you're very welcome to join. Registration is open, but it's not required, and I will include a link in today's show notes. Also, there is the last soup circle of the summer will be next week on July 15th from 12 to 2 at the Student Learning Commons. And soup circles, I've talked about this before on this show, they are a popular way for students to connect, share insights and academic strategies and find support. Registration isn't required, but I will also share a link in the show notes that can give you more information. And I believe sometimes there is obviously soup to enjoy and indulge in, and sometimes bannock. So it is definitely a great time. And then the next thing that I want to share before I get into the show is the Garden Therapy Group offers SFU students a hands-on restorative experience centered around seasonal gardening activities. Students will engage in preparing and maintaining garden beds, planting seeds, pruning, and harvesting as the garden evolves over the summer months. And each session will also include a guided self-care reflection prompt connected to the day's activities, encouraging students to draw parallels between nurturing the garden and supporting their own well-being. The next session is on Thursday, July 13th from 2 to 3:30 at the Maggie Benston Field, and that's close to the picnic tables up here at Burnaby campus. And if this sounds interesting, please send an email to Tricia K. Williams at TRICIAW@SFU.ca to sign up, and I will include Trisha's email in the show notes today. Drop-ins are welcome if space allows, so just so that you know that. All right, so before I get into interviews, let's hear a song from Strawberry Punch. They're an all-femme queer indie twee pop punk rock band from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and they stopped by CJSF a couple of weeks ago for a Studio 6 session. So let's take a listen to their track Lavender and Maple.
Every face and every crowd blurs when I am. The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Ladies, this one's for you. Pink Miami, the ultimate ladies' carnival. Saturday, August 29th in Vancouver. Better Uber. Experience tropical vibes, glamour, and nonstop entertainment featuring Penny Bling live for the first time in Vancouver alongside Nikki Kush, Chisel, and DJ Fry-Eye. Dance all night to the hottest dancehall soca, afrobeats, R&B, disco, and old-school classics. One lucky winner will receive flight tickets to Miami. Doors open at 10 p.m. Tickets available on Eventbrite. Come early, leave late. Follow After Hours Media Group on Instagram and get your tickets today.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby. And today I'm here with Chelsea Forsyth, Artistic Managing Director of Presentation House Theatre in North Vancouver, to chat about the production Peerless, which will be one of two productions featured at the Ensemble Theatre Festival taking place July 8th to 18th at the Jericho Arts Center. Chelsea, how are you? Like, how are things?
I mean, so busy, but wonderful.
Yeah, I hear some voices in the background. I love it. That's the beauty of community radio. That's so great. So busy times. I am curious if you could share a little bit about Ensemble Theatre Festival, just for people who have never heard about it before, because I know there was a bit of a hiatus, right?
That's right. So the theater festival started in 2013, and the idea was to bring kind of a little bit more serious fare into the Vancouver summer scene. We love Tuts, we love Bard on the Beach, but the idea was to bring something that's not Shakespeare, that's not musical, that's like for your kind of play lovers, yes, into the scene in the summer. And so it's really focused on this work that is based in like really wonderful texts, right? Works, some of them a little more classical, some of them from the kind of contemporary classical canon, like Streetcar Named Desire that we're playing with, and some of them like Peerless that are much more contemporary, but that's the thing they all have in common. They're all of these like really extraordinary texts that we as artists get an opportunity to like really dig into and sink our teeth into. And so 2013, the Rep Festival started. It ran all the way to 2019. We had a festival, of course, planned for the summer of 2020. And then we were on hiatus for 2 years. We came back in 2022 with a festival and then took another hiatus while we sort of figured out some artistic leadership transitions. So mm-hmm. Tarek Leslie started the company and the festival, really wonderful artist, voice actor, actor, director, who was in town. And then after 2022, he decided to step away and he asked Chris Lamb and I if we would like to take over the artistic direction of the company. We'd both been artists with the company, Chris as a director and actor, me as a director, and also as people who were kind of part of the ensemble, who helped pick the shows, who provided artistic support, even in the years that we weren't working on the shows themselves. And so it took Chris and I a while to figure out whether we wanted to revive the festival as was or make some changes. And it was actually Chris who came to me just with a really impassioned pitch for the importance of continuing to do this work, both mm-hmm. for the audiences who, I will say, would like occasionally just email and be like, where are you guys? Are you coming back? And also for the artists who get so much working with these really wonderful scripts.
Yeah, so you got the questions, are you coming back? You are back. You are directing the production Peerless. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yes. So Peerless is a modern adaptation of Macbeth by Jae Park, who's a Korean-American playwright. It's from 2015, and it reimagines Macbeth if it were about high school seniors competing for early admission slots to Ivy League universities.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a lot shorter than Macbeth. It's be about 90 minutes, and it's very, very funny. I think the way the poetry is like held in the language is really, really appealing, while at the same time being a very new and very contemporary thing. And if you saw 2022's Passover with us, I think it shares some kind of artistic DNA with Antoinette Nwandu's Passover in terms of how contemporary poetry is kind of embedded into the text of the show. So it features, instead of Mackers and Lady M, twin girls named M and L, who have moved by themselves to somewhere in the American Midwest in order to try to get to the college, which we all understand, although it's not named as Harvard. And they have done everything they can to manipulate their way into early admission in Harvard. And when they fail, they take it, let's say, as far as Mackers and Lady M take it in their quest for power. And so the show kind of transitions from what I would call a dark comedy into something that's almost got a kind of psychological horror element to it. So lots of wonderful references to Macbeth for those who know the original text, but very contemporary in its aesthetic and style.
Love, love, love that. Now, I mentioned that the other pr there is another production. It is A Streetcar Named Desire. And so, could you share like how the festival works? Because it's not that you would see Peerless every day, correct?
No, that's right. We alternate shows between A Streetcar Named Desire and Peerless. So we open the festival on June 10th. We have previews the 8th and 9th of Peerless and Streetcar, respectively. Then we open the festival officially on June 10th with Peerless. And then the following day will be the opening of Streetcar. And they more or less alternate dates until the following weekend, until the 19th, when we close with a 2 o'clock matinee of Peerless. And so you get an opportunity to see very contemporary work, and then something from the kind of 20th century classical canon as well.
Love it. And what are you most excited about the festival this year?
I'm just so excited to share Peerless with people. I have to say, I'm very excited to see Chris and everyone's work in Streetcar as well. I was in for auditions. I know how capable and talented that cast is, but I really haven't had anything to do with that show now. So I'm so excited to see from audition to opening night how it grows. But most of all, I'm just so excited to share Peerless. This is a show where, like, I know who in my life is going to love which jokes. And I'm now at the point where when the artists, like when the actors are running the script, I'm like, oh, that person is going to howl at that, you know?
I love
So
it.
I'm just so excited to share because it's a fun little twisted dark piece of theater in like a really joyful way. And so I'm just excited for audiences together to get to see it.
Love that. And for people who haven't been to the festival before, I would say, I guess they should go to the website to kind of get more information and stuff.
Absolutely. All of the information, including all the showtimes for the individual shows, is available at ensembletheatrecompany.ca, or available on our socials as well, on Instagram at WeAreETC and at Ensemble Theatre on Facebook. And so you can go there to purchase tickets, find out when the shows are, read the cast and crew bios if you're very excited, sign up for our newsletter, all of the ways that you can stay informed.
And has it always been at the Jericho Arts Center?
We did 1 year at the Waterfront Theater, but otherwise, we've been at the Jericho Arts Center, and we're really happy to be back there. That's really a community that's embraced the festival and is thrilled that we're back and they don't have to deal with parking on Granville Island. And given that it's FIFA, we're also really thrilled not to be dealing with parking on
You
Granville
see,
Island.
that's pertinent information, guys. Pertinent information. Before I let you go, is there anything that you want to share that maybe was missed?
I think the only thing is just that we also have a little bit of an ancillary performance for each of our Sunday matinees. So at 11 a.m., you can come to the Jericho Arts Center and see either Fistful of Crime Improv or the musician Violet Grace, depending on which show you're going to see. Pack a little lunch, pack a little picnic, come see the show at 11, go away, have your picnic in the park, eat your lunch, and then come back and see the matinee. And those are all pay what you can. So yeah, you can get tickets on our website as well. And they're pay what you can tickets.
Love, love, love that. And is okay, if anybody wanted to sort of get connected with you and some of the things that you might be doing even outside of this, are you online in the online streets at all, or are there ways?
I am, yeah. You can find me at Kelty Forsyth on Instagram and at Kelty D on Facebook, and also on the Presentation House Theater website, which is my full-time gig. My email and stuff is there if for some reason you needed to contact the artistic director of a theater company very much.
Love, love, love that. Again, everybody, Ensemble Theater Festival is taking place July 8th to 18th at the Jericho Arts Center. I will include all of the links and all of the things on the website, and there's going to be plenty of time because once this aired, there's still plenty of time to get tickets. So I hope everybody, you know, who loves theater comes out.
Me too. It really is such a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kelty.
And welcome back to Intravenous. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. And we just heard from Kelty Forsyth, where we talked about Peerless, which is one of two productions featured at the Ensemble Theater Festival. And that is going to be taking place at July 8th to 18th. It's at Jericho Arts Center. The website to get more information is ensembletheatercompany.ca. And now I think we're going to have a listen to a one track by Orchidae, and it is called Sometime. And then after that, we're going to hear from Fiona Black, who is the artistic director with Vancouver Folk Festival.
I feel like I know you.
CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, and I'm here with Fiona Black, Artistic Director of Vancouver Folk Festival, and we're going to chat about the festival, which is taking place at Jericho Beach, July 17th to 19th. Hi, Fiona. How are you?
Hi. Can't believe it's 2 weeks away.
I know. It's crazy. And I'm attending for the very, very first time this year. So I'm really, really excited.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Thank you. If you could maybe talk about the festival for folks who might just be hearing about it for the first time, get people a bit of an understanding as to what they can expect at the festival.
Great. I feel like if you're a Vancouverite and you've lived in Vancouver a long time, it's a quintessential part of Vancouver summer. And I've lived in Vancouver. I wasn't born and raised in Vancouver, but I've lived in Vancouver a really long time, 42 years now. So I arrived as a young person, and it took me a little while before I heard about the festival, but I started attending in the 90s, and it felt very Vancouver in that there's a very low-key, chill vibe, hippie vibe. That's evolved. I mean, you know, the festival's 49 years old. So if you go back 49 years, we're right in the hippie era of that's carried on, but it's evolved into today's hippies and people who are more free spirits and who I feel passionately embrace all the progressive wonderful things that the world has to offer. And I feel like we've kept up that ethos, that mandate, and that vibe at our festival. Even though we still have old hippies, but we have young hippies that attend. And I don't know if I should be even using that term anymore. It feels a little dated to me. I would have been a young hippie. I sort of came of age in the 80s, and I was jealous of people who came of age in the 60s, because it just seemed like a very cool era to musically, and just where how the world was kind of exploding with so many differences. Like, it was a generation that really changed the world, and we're still kind of evolving from that kind of explosion of the 60s,
right.
And in all women's rights, human rights, the world, global rights, just recognition of our inclusivity, of that's a great thing for the world. And I feel like we've made a lot of progress, and in the last couple of years, it feels like we've had a lot of erosion on that progress. So it makes our festival even more relevant, because we fiercely defend those values, and especially today.
Right. Love to hear that. And for someone who hasn't been to a festival like this before, would you say that, like, typically people tend to come for the entire weekend type of thing? Because it does run from July 17th to the 19th. So do you find that there are people who, like, they buy their wristband, they come, like, all of the days? Or is there a lot of people who just kind of, like, come for the artists, or a mix?
It's truly a mix. And mm-hmm. The last few years, we've had a lot of new first-time attendees, and I feel like we make it easy for first-time attendees. If there's one evening showcase artist that they're really excited about, you can just buy an evening pass, so it's quite affordable. And I feel too that there will be those attendees that will come for an evening, but they'll kind of get the vibe of the festival. It's like, wow, this is really cool. Maybe I want a full day of this. So hopefully they upgrade and maybe buy it. Or maybe they come Saturday night, like, hey, I'm going to come Sunday, I'm going to buy another pass. Or I feel like a lot of people will upgrade and do upgrade. And then there's our loyal attendees who've been coming for many years, and
they just buy a weekend pass and they buy it sight unseen. We do an early bird sale that without announcing any artists. So we have a lot of trust that they're going to have a great time and they're going to see artists that they don't know they love yet. Right. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of new artists that are making their debuts. We always feature artists from all over the globe, different styles, different cultures. It's just, to me, it's like a vision of utopia for the world and what we hope for the world, and that, you know, bringing together so many different people and everybody getting along and supporting each other and being accepting and welcoming and all the things we hope for. And it's a weekend that we make this happen. It's like a little village that arises, a little Atlantis. Yes. And it's amazing, the transformation in the park. Jericho Beach is just one of the most beautiful locations in our city. Mm-hmm. You can, that never gets old. Like you can never tire of the beauty, the majesty of that park. Being in, it's a beach festival, so that carries a certain vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And we build this little village, the stages, the artisan markets, the community markets, and it's just the park is brought to life. Like there's just tons of people around. There's families enjoying the family area, the little folks area. It's a multi-generation festival with people, with young people of all ages, from zero right up to really old, people who've been to every festival. And there are definitely people who've been to every festival. It's impressive. And then, you know, the week after, when we dismantle that whole thing and the park goes back to being its regular formation, it's quite a transformation.
I love to hear that. And I mean, I love the fact that you brought up the location. So Jericho Beach is where it's going to be at. So guys, it's an outdoor event. Again, for somebody new, I like to walk everywhere with a water bottle. I would assume that that's okay to bring into the park amongst like blankets, that type of vibe.
Yes, so lots of advice on how to plan your day if you're coming for the whole day and evening. It can get hot in the daytime, so definitely wear layers. Wear like a thin cover-up because you want to cover up from the sun. Mm-hmm. Have your hat, have your sunscreen, sunglasses, all that. But come evening time when the sun starts to go down, you feel the chill from being right next to the ocean. Like it just cools right off. You want almost a full set of new clothes. Like you want, you know, pants, sweaters. It's really fun to cozy up in a blanket and wrap a blanket around you. Like, you know, the blanket that you're using on the ground during the day, wrap it around you at night. Don't underestimate that it gets cold there. Yeah. I've been to festivals myself, I go looking for the hoodie and the merch because like, oh crap, I'm freezing. I didn't realize it would cool down this much.
Exactly.
Be prepared, and you can bring food, although you may not want to because the food trucks are amazing. There's such a great range of food. We definitely cater to people who like to eat healthy food, but you know, there's the usual burgers and chips, but there's lots of healthy options too, and real variety of different kinds of foods.
Love that. And what are the hours sort of like, let's say, I mean, the first day is the Friday, so that's more of like an evening.
Yes, it starts at, the music starts at 3 o'clock on Friday. Okay. So nobody works on Fridays in the summer in Vancouver. So
listen,
y'all can come at 3 o'clock. I know. And then we have the evening stage till close to 11 p.m. And we have a strict curfew at 11 p.m. The city has us, and we're usually pretty good at finishing right on time. So not too late at night. And Saturday and Sunday are the full days. We get rolling around 10:30 in the morning.
Okay, right on. So it's like a full, like literally you can spend your whole day there, which is so fantastic. Okay, for buying tickets and all the like, and even to find out about some of the artists that are performing, I would guess that we would head to the website.
The website is the best, yeah. So it's thefestival.bc.ca. All the art festival artists, as well as all the schedules, are up for each day. Okay. So a very special component of our festival and most Canadian folk festivals, and it's unique to Canada, I have to say, is our workshop stages. And we've kind of renamed them collaborative sessions, because that's really what they are. Like, people, when they see workshops, sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to be taught how to play a banjo or how to play a recorder or to. So they're more, we pair usually four artists together, and they play in the round, but the hope is that they collaborate together and start playing with each other, where it's where they feel comfortable or appropriate. So my job as artistic director is to look at all the bands and who should I put together on the stages. So I look for those synergies that, and sometimes I just know, it's like, well, I know this artist has played with this artist and they're used to collaborating. So that's an obvious pick, of putting artists together that I know have played together. And sometimes it's putting two very different artists on the same stage, and the synergies that they find are often surprising. Like, you know, maybe a bluegrass band with a more global band that maybe you don't, it's not necessarily like what you think of as a collaboration, and sometimes it works great. Sometimes sometimes it doesn't.
Exactly.
But the fun is just the, you know, being in that spirit of being in the moment and knowing that this is a unique stage. Like, it's not a touring show. It's like, it's them in the moment and being open to the spirit of playing together.
Love that. Now, we did plug the website, which is thefestival.bc.ca. I've been to the website and I noticed a little something called, what is it? It is the blanket lottery. And I'm so curious,
blanket lottery, yeah.
If you could share what that is all about.
So, yeah, the first attendees that get into the gate, it used to be a term of endearment called the Birkenstock 500. So the Birkenstock 500 was the rush to get to the main stage area down front, so you could put your blanket down and you could be down front for the main stage shows, which start at 6 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So there is a lottery involved, and I'm not sure how it actually works. That's more a question for my operations people, but people get entered to get their name in the draw so that they get in the gate first, so they can get down and get their blanket down, so they have their little piece of real estate for that day.
That's cool.
It's very quirky, and I think other folk festivals in Canada have it as well. Mm-hmm. But I do know too that, you know, when I have planned out the evenings since I've been at the helm for artistic direction, to have a more dance-oriented band for the last band of the evening. So the blankets and the tarps kind of go away, you know, a little bit later, because people start to get a little, they've been there usually a long time, since 10:30 in the morning. So they want to get back first thing in the morning to do their Birkenstock 500. I love to just let the last set be kind of loose, and young people kind of just kind of take over that whole front area of the main stage, and it becomes a big dance party. This year, no exception. We've got two African bands ending Friday night, Sunday night. That will bring that wonderful, incredible African rhythmic music that you have to dance to. That's what it is. Yay. It's dance music. And we have Ruby Waters on Saturday night, who's going to bring the party on Saturday night for the final show of the main stage. So know that, you know, even though there's the blankets down front for the first part of the main stage evening. There is that, and we do mark off big areas, big swaths of areas on either side for anyone who wants to dance. So,
okay, cool.
I think you can feel really comfortable at our festival, whatever your vibe is. And we have 3 day stages: the east stage, the west stage, and the south stage. And I've really made the west stage is a very open stage, and there's a lot of room for dancing. And I've kind of put the more global upbeat bands on that stage. So all day long, kids, anyone, like everyone dances at this festival. I don't mean to say that only youth dance. I dance, you know, and we encourage everyone to get their groove on. So there's plenty of opportunity for that throughout the whole weekend.
I love it. And so 49 years the festival has been with us. Is there something different this year than, or maybe unique to this year than there hasn't been years before?
A few little changes. We always sort of do a big debrief after every festival and try to make improvements. I feel that especially the collaborative session stages, often we're just getting going and getting into things. So I've lengthened the set times for those stages because they always feel a little short, and maybe because each artist takes turns, sometimes some of the artists get a little shortchanged, or they don't get another turn, or we run out of time. That's always seems to be the thing. So I hope that's a nice change. Also, I've lengthened the artist set times a little bit from 60 to 70. Not a huge change, but I feel like people, same thing, like people feel it's a little short. So you'll get more of your favorite artist. And everyone seems to be on board with that. The artists love it. And I think a lot of, because we have 3 stages going at once, I think it'll give you a chance to get to see more of the artists. There's a lot of festival goers that walk away and it's like, oh my God, I missed that artist because I didn't get over to their stage, or I missed this. Too bad. They are all worthy of getting to see. So I want our attendees to be able to see more of the artists.
Love, love, love that. So again, everybody, you know, Vancouver Folk Music Festival is going to be at Jericho Beach Park, July 17th to 19th. I'm going to ensure that I put the link to the website so that you can get tickets, because this is airing on Wednesday. So there's plenty of time to still get your ticket, your wristband. The website URL is thefestival.bc.ca. Before I let you go, Fiona, is there anything that you want to share that maybe you had missed?
No, just please come and join us. It's a miraculous, great tradition for Vancouver. If you're a Vancouverite, it's a rite of passage. I think you deserve to at least have one festival in you. If you claim to be a Vancouverite, and we also obviously welcome visitors, and we do get a lot of visitors coming for our festival. So, nice. That's nice too.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, make 2026 your year, everyone, if you haven't already done so. Lastly, I just wanted to ask, I did plug the website, but are you also on social media channels as well, just for those who kind of use that a little bit more?
Absolutely. You can find us on Facebook, on X, on Instagram. Our Instagram especially is very active. Blue Sky actually is new this year.
Right on.
Yeah. And what am I missing? I guess we're on TikTok.
Yes.
Not that I've been on our TikTok. I'm aging myself by saying I've not been on our TikTok's channel, but it's there, I think.
I will, you know what? I'm going to include all the links just because it makes it easy for people when they go to the show notes, they'll be able to click on all your socials and stuff like that so that they can.
Awesome. We got some real fun videos like that are cycling through, and the artists are sending in their own little private messages to on video. So that's really cool. We love that when the artists kind of come alive welcome everyone to the festival.
Love, love, love that. Well, again, this is going to be my first festival this year in Vancouver, so I'm really, really excited, and I'm really excited to you know, chat about it again on air afterwards. I'm really looking forward to
it. If you see me, come say hi, or just
I
like,
definitely
yeah,
will.
Hopefully not.
I definitely will.
I'm the one that's just running from stage to stage, trying to hopefully not put out fires, but trying to make sure it's all going smooth. I kind of, it's my marathon weekend. I just like, yeah, I get my exercise, that's for sure.
I love it. I love it. Well, again, Fiona, thank you so much for joining me today. And I am so looking forward to having a lot of fun in, wow, a couple weeks.
Great. Thank you, Nicole. Great to meet you.
Likewise.
See you at the beach.
Definitely.
Setting things up.
Studio 6, CGSS video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances. And interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
So, did you know that in last month you were the top of the electronics chart?
I did, and I was so pumped. It was amazing. Yeah.
As well as engaging conversations with community members about the issues that are most important to their communities.
I find, like, you know, if I'm coming from a place of my own experience, then I can just expand upon it and be like, so this happened to me, and like, why? And how does that affect me? And how does it affect other people who are going through the same thing? And
watch all of the Studio 6 live sessions on CJSF's YouTube page or on our website at cjsf.ca/studio6.
Hello, hello. Before the break, we heard about the Vancouver Folk Festival, which is in its 49th year, taking place on Friday, July 19th to Sunday, July 21st at Jericho Beach Park. And a link for wristbands or tickets are going to be in today's show notes. And guys, can you believe it? Just like that, we are officially at the end of the show. If you are a listener of Speak Up, tomorrow host Jesse will be sharing some interesting stories and music. So, you know, make sure that you join us from 10 to 11. Also, if you're in Vancouver this weekend, the Catalano Street Party 2026 is happening from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. in Kitsilano, and CJSF will be there. Find our table and meet CJSF summer student team, Stella and Hallelujah. And yeah, they're going to be there hanging out. You know, they'll have some stickers. Come and hear about the station and all the things that you can get involved in. And then next up, we're going to have Democracy Now!, but I am going to play us out with two tracks, starting off with Winnipeg pop star and songwriter Begonia with her song Conditional Love, and that's off of the album Fantasy Life. And then we're going to have Orca Kogan follow that with the track Honey, and that is off of the album Hard Hearted Woman. I want to thank you again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Two men get out of one car, three-piece suit, four shoes on, smooth heads reflecting the sun, block gates to parking lots, drove past the Hollywood sign, drove past Hyperion Drive, no one can stop my drive, drive until I grow the wings to fly. Don't go out past it. Trio.